Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Celeri Report in a very, very different setting this time. This is going to be so fascinating for all of you. This is part of our new series on loving art that is hosted by Nina Hein, our culture scout. Hi, Nina. I'm filling in for you here today, and thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm here with my friend, actually a personal friend for many years, Joachim Marte from Bregenz, Austria. He is here also with his brother and his colleagues who have founded a new way of preserving and reproducing art. And so today we are going to go through the whole production here, and Joachim will tell us how it came about that you discovered a new way of reproducing 3D printing, and what is your ideas about this, and what can this do for the art world in general. Thank you so much, Joachim, for being here.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So yeah, the historic background of this startup is my business partner, John Dodland, a French businessman, who is very well connected in the art world, had the idea when COVID hit the world. He had the idea that museums lack revenue streams due to the closures we experienced. And he thought that we could go to the museums, scan their original artworks, 3D scan them and reproducing them, and actually sell them online, and therefore creating new revenue streams for museums. That was the initial idea.
Wow. And so I've seen images and video clips that you gave me, where everybody is in the Austrian Museum of Belvedere, or you are there in the Musée d'Orsay,
yes,
in Paris, and you're actually scanning the originals?
Yes. So for example, here, we scanned an original Van Gogh.
This is not the original now.
No, the original you couldn't touch. And we then reproduced it. So we 3D scanned the original, and then we reproduced the original.
Wow. And you can actually see, you can even touch it now. You can see that there is relief.
Yes. So basically the technology scans 3 data sets. The relief or the topography of a painting, the brush strokes, etc., the color and the glossiness depth. So we have like matte and shiny glossiness levels, and that can also be scanned, data processed, and reproduced.
So it's all digitized, all of the depths, and even, you know, what I find amazing is that, especially for someone like Nina, who would be looking at this, she would be noticing the brush strokes and the technique that is there. And it's all captured. So you can actually study a painter's technique by looking at the reproduction that you make.
Yes, so basically, in the beginning, we focused on old masters.
Mm-hmm.
And we reproduced canvas, as well as on paper, on wood, on alu de bond, those materials, as you can see here, for example. Here you have a canvas product. This one we scanned in New York at the Hispanic Society in New York. This is a Sorolla original. And we also scanned Kandinsky, Magritte. So we work together with Musée d'Orsay, Musée Magritte, Musée Matisse, the Georgian National Museum, and that was the beginning. We also industrialized the whole process, which means we are now very accurate. From that point onwards, contemporary artists got interested in our technology. So what we then did, we diversified our business model and started to produce for famous contemporary artists editions. So what they were interested was to create a new artwork together with us, and then doing limited editions. Like, for example, here you can see a Peter Halley, an American, famous American artist.
Both the Musée d'Orsay and the Musée de l'Orangerie explore the notion of innovation. We decided to collaborate with Lito because we were impressed by the quality of their editions. Both the relief and the artist's touch are present.
This collaboration is incredible on so many levels. It reminds me of my first visit to d'Orsay and l'Orangerie. And I cannot believe that because of Lito, art can now belong to everyone. Now I can even have a Monet in my house. I never thought I would growing up, you know, coming from where I come from.
There's actually different levels to this. We are not only talking about the original masterpieces of deceased, you know, historical painters, but we also have contemporary artists who are interested in your technology because...
Yes, so because traditionally you have the traditional editions, which are very nice 2D printed artworks.
Right.
And what we would offer the artists a new layer of material, so they have like three-dimensionally reproduced artworks, and they would do a limited edition with us, let's say from 20 to 75 pieces per piece. They would sign it, and then they would have not only like a better signed poster, but like a three-dimensional artwork.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's absolutely fantastic. And as we are seeing that if you really go close, it's almost like, and that's what they have done in the museum. I've seen a report on this. There is the original, and there is three or four of the copies, so to speak, of the 3D digital printed proprietary technology printed here in Austria. And even art connoisseurs are going there and they cannot make out what is the original from what is the
yes. So it can become very tricky to differentiate the original from the replica, basically. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What would be the benefit for art? I mean,
so
now we can
basically
see artists.
Basically the whole mission, very simple: make art more accessible, right? Mm. So if you have an artist like Van Gogh, where the original cost 200 million euros, not many people can afford it, and most of them are within museums, so there is no access. Mm. But with our technology, you can, you know, get the emotion of a 200 million dollar euro artwork back into your home.
Yeah.
From 500 to 2K.
You know, I really like this idea because art is, you know, there's two sides to this. That on the one hand, we are democratizing art. We bring it towards school kids, homes that enjoy the beauty. And we at Solari, we are all supportive of that. To have an access to such precision of reproduction in your close vicinity is enormous. But at the same time, of course, maybe we want to talk about that too. What do you think about the idea that too much reproduction changes our perception and evaluation of what is the original? What is original and what is reproduction?
I mean, it's a very old question, right? I mean, I would say there is always an aura, right, around the original.
Yeah.
But if you're not very like an art connoisseur, maybe you feel it maybe, but you cannot 100% differentiate. But I have no answer to that.
I think it's a good point that you're making that the original has this aura.
Yeah.
That, and Rudolf Steiner was saying that there is energies that emanate from the original because they have been put into that original by the creator, the painter, the sculptor, that are different from any type of reproduction. However, what you are saying, isn't it, if I understand you correctly, is that in order to even begin to learn to appreciate the quality, the value of an original art and of art in general, this is your second best step.
Of course.
Isn't it?
I mean, I would say it's the closest to the original. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to be at the closest to the original. That's yes. our main goal.
So are your reproductions, are they affordable?
What's yeah, the so price? So our products start from 150 euros up to 10,000, 15,000, depending on the edition size, the size of the painting, the value of the original artist. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you are entering contracts with the owners of the art. That would be, for example, a museum or
yes.
a country.
So yeah. what we get the license from the museum to reproduce a certain amount of editions per artwork. Mm-hmm. And each time we sell an artwork, the museum get royalty payment.
Okay.
So it actually is a new revenue stream, income stream for the museum.
For the museum itself. But the people, customers are going to your website and they buy from your website.
Yes. So they can buy it directly at our website, litomasters.com or lito.io. Mm-hmm. And they can directly, we ship worldwide, we ship to the US, we ship everywhere.
You will also show us, as we are going to walk through your whole production here, how it is being shipped. And even the materials I hear from your brother Manuel, even the materials for the shipping is locally sourced.
So everything is locally sourced. We are a fully integrated factory. So we buy the raw material, we build our own packaging, we build our own frames, the back plates, everything. And everything is locally sourced around within an area of around 50 to 100 kilometers.
Wow.
And
that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we are here at Lake Constance. You know, we are at the heart of life and of culture in the German speaking world. And I'm very, very proud of what you have achieved here, Joachim, and with your friends. This is quite phenomenal. What a breakthrough that also offers. Also, are you working with schools, for example, and or maybe later the outreach could increase a little bit?
So we had some classes, school classes in-house, and what I found very funny is that children and young adults, they love to touch, mm-hmm. and they have now the haptic possibility yes. to touch.
Yes.
The brush strokes, which you would never be able to do in a museum, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It would be illegal and not possible. But even like the idea was for blind people to touch an original Van Gogh, Monet,
yeah.
is like quite an interesting
Beautiful.
Concept.
We were talking before that also about how our fingertips are no longer used to touch actual relief and actual structure, because we are constantly watching flat surfaces, we are touching flat surfaces, and paper and prints, even if they are high quality prints, they are flat.
Absolutely.
So what you are bringing back is much, much more of the original experience and that original, let's say, there's more data.
Yes,
even for our own brain.
I would say we are here. The switch could be from mono to stereo, basically. So we add another layer of experience
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To the artwork.
Yeah, from two-dimensional to three-dimensional, and maybe even more dimensional because.
So we capture like three data sets, as I said before, like the topography, the relief, the brush strokes, then the color, and then the glossiness depth. And if you combine those three, it becomes very authentic mm-hmm. and very like close to the original.
So that means you have three different scanning processes?
Yes.
Methods?
So it's combined within one scanner, but we basically get three data sets. We then do the data processing also in-house, which is also quite intense.
Yeah.
And then the whole process afterwards.
And that also gives the safety to the museum curators, for example, and owners, that the data stays with you, that it, there's only one party that they
Yeah, so basically with. The data always stays at the, belongs to the museum. Mm-hmm. Our company policy is that we don't own the data.
Beautiful.
The data is 100% museum owned. That's mm-hmm. also very important. Mm-hmm. For those institutions.
I can imagine that this is part of the reason why they would go into a contract with you, an agreement with you. Maybe we should walk around a little mm-hmm. bit if we can.
So yeah, I can show you. But this, for example, is a Magritte. It's okay. called Lampierre de Lumière. Here you can see the different layer of glossiness, depth. You can see the canvas structure, the brush strokes.
Is this on canvas?
This is not on canvas, this is on paper.
Okay. You also print on canvas.
Yes, so we have on canvas, on paper, on wood and aluminum.
What type of a machine is this? It's like a laser scanner?
Yes, so we work with a laser scanner.
Is this the original size?
This has been scaled down by 5 to 10%, 10 to 5%. Mm-hmm. Because the museum wanted us to scale it a bit down because of forgery and...
Good idea. Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah. So you can even build in certain...
mechanisms for protections.
Yeah, yes, correct. Yes, yes. Very, very good. This is canvas, no?
No, this is also on paper. Wow. I'll show you canvas later. So this is part of the Musée d'Orangerie in Paris.
Yeah.
The big, big wall painting. And this is a cutout of that wall painting.
Is this what I've seen in one report, that long?
Yes, that long. It's from Monet himself. And we made some cutouts.
Nina Hein, look, this is Monet. Reproduced to perfection.
Here we have a Matisse reproduction.
That is canvas. Now.
That is now canvas. You can see the different layers, different brush strokes.
And these glossy parts, they are the original also.
Correct.
I mean, I would not be able to see a difference. And actually, it has beautiful energy because it was made by you.
Thank you. I can show you now our latest project. It's an AI generated image, which should
It should be like
a Magritte, and we are now testing different images, and also we try to replicate or generate AI generate the topography and everything.
Explain this a little more, because this is not an original Magritte.
No, it's like an AI-generated image.
Using elements from Magritte.
We got the image generated from Belgium.
Yeah.
And our task is to make it real, and we generate the 3D, basically. So the third dimension.
So you are learning, or your machine is learning from Magritte's brush strokes. And
yes, because we scanned the originals, we have the data, and now we can generate the 3D.
Wow, that's dangerous. So that is the entrance into the culture and art of artificial intelligence. Wow.
Yes.
A breakthrough. And let's see where it leads us.
Here we have like a Douglas Gordon. This is like a Marilyn. It was, here we created all the, it's like burnt sugar here.
Mm-hmm. Or egg.
And also candle, uh-huh. wax, for instance, here.
But you did not put this on. Or
No. This has.
This is all.
This is 100% reproduced.
Reproduced by one machine. And
yes.
That machine is your proprietary.
Yeah, correct.
Patent.
So basically the whole process. It's not only the 3D printing machines exist. There are many of those. But the way we assemble everything, the whole process, There we have two patterns for the canvas and for the paper.
How many layers would, for instance, this thick stuff be? How many?
That can vary, but because it's on a micron level, but basically you can say it's like up to 40 layers. Depends how big the relief is.
And does the material smooth out the resolution of those layers? Or is it a gradient? Or if you zoom in, it would be like a little...
Yeah, if you zoom in, maybe you could see some. Mm-hmm. But you have to zoom in very...
Mm-hmm. Wow. Fantastic.
And here we have like a small nymphia of the big wall painting of Monet. These are our best-selling pieces.
When you are in a contract, so you have to stick to the numbers.
Yes.
That
so we provide a certificate.
Yeah.
And a limited edition number.
So they are all
certified
numbered
by the museum, and they're all numbered. They're all limited.
And let's go to the packaging, actually, because this is very interesting how they put it all together.
So that's, here you have like a Kandinsky.
And this is how the customer will receive it?
Correct.
The frame, they can order a frame with it, or can they choose from frames, or?
Yeah, normally we have the aluminum frame, especially for the contemporary, but for the masters, we also offer wood frame, yes. Mm-hmm.
Is this the original size, actually?
Yes, this is the original size.
That's beautiful. And then it goes into this very well-packaged carton.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, even with gloves.
Yes.
That a pair of gloves is being added. So you can actually have the feeling of the original. And here, you're doing this actually manually.
Yes.
This is a manual process, but you're also having the machine process?
Yes.
Yeah. Now they have a new process where they also have the gloss veneer that can be scanned and printed. Originally, they had to do it all manually so that the veneer and the shine is being produced.
The level of reflection.
Level of reflection, yes. That is needed in order to make it a production that is pleasing to the customer. How long do you work on one?
4 hours.
A long time, 1-2 hours for one of these?
At this size.
So this is where they put the frames on. This is an aluminium frame. And this looks like a French political scenery. Who is this?
Aiga Nagali.
Yeah, it's actually making young artists also more prominent. Okay. Wow. Schön.
So here you have the certificate of authenticity.
And that means the number
will be like written here, and then you have also authentication number there,
and this is your personal thank you to the customer and collector. You can call them collectors. Yes,
correct.
Anybody can become an art collector, and wouldn't that be, you know, the the benefit to small museums? I was thinking of the Barnes Museum. I went with Catherine and with Nina and Ricardo. We went to the Barnes Museum, and it's actually for them, it's quite a job to find the space to exhibit all the originals. That would be a very, very good cooperation for them as well, wouldn't it?
Of course.
Especially when they have art pieces that need to be protected.
And also if you have, pop-up shows around the world, yeah. you could also use those here. It's an insurance question as well.
How do you get the originals? You have to go with...
With the museums, because the originals are so expensive, they won't allow us to bring it here and scan it here. So we actually go there. Mm-hmm. So we have to go to New York, to the museum. Mm-hmm. We have to go to Paris, into the museum. Mm-hmm. And we are not even handling it ourselves. So basically, the art handlers locally there mm-hmm. bring the piece, and we are only allowed to scan it. So we are not allowed to touch it.
Yes. Yeah, I would imagine that. And have you been to the United States with that as well?
So it was actually not myself, but two of my working colleagues who went to the Hispanic Society. I have been to the museum in Paris mm-hmm. myself.
You have been yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And what's your next plans? What's your dream of expansion?
So we saw more and more American clients coming, buying our pieces, and we shipped them there. Mm-hmm. So I think our next step would be to go to the US and introduce production facility there to produce locally there. Wow. That would be my dream, yeah.
Yeah, that would be your dream? Yeah, I can imagine. Because art collectors, there's a lot. There's a lot of money in the United States also.
There's also great museums in the US. They have a lot of art which could be taken sold to the American people.
And could eventually be shown more in Europe.
Of course.
And in one of your reproductions.
Yes.
And vice versa. Wow. This is beautiful, Joachim. So we wish you all the best. Can we, as Soleri subscribers, as viewers of this production, can we somehow support you? Or what can... do you need investors?
So we are currently looking for investors, especially to enter the US market. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we have already some American investors, mm-hmm. but we are open for new investors to start the business, kick it off in the US.
Mm. I'm thinking of works of art that are never seen in their original because they are in some wonderful place or in some private collection. I think this would be a great opportunity to allow more of humanity to learn, to appreciate, and to love art. And so we're greeting you here from the production in Bregenz. Thank you, Joachim.
Thank you.
And this is our contribution, or one of the contributions to loving art. Learn to love art. And learn to love human creativity. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Thank you.